Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, and welcome in This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It is Bogman. It is the Welsh. We've got 3 hours, but not 3 hours of me.
That's right. You get 3 hours of me, though, suckers.
Suckers. Gotcha, bitch.
You're stuck with me for 3 hours.
We got you to hit play. We sucked you in. Now we just got to get you to get play on the other hours. But Bogman did a very good job. Frankly, a much better show without me in the next couple hours.
That's
because
true.
You have got, I don't know in the order, but I know
Joe and then Nate.
Okay, Mr. Joe Pisapia, author of the Fantasy Black Book.
Black.
And our co-host over on Fantrax, where we do the Fantasy Black Book. Joe's going to be sitting in for hour two with Bogman, and then Nate Hamilton, who you see over on the Fantasy Footballers, also a part of the Fantasy Black Book, Fantasy Tilt podcast, bunch of that stuff. Nate is going to be in hour three. So, I mean, you wildly upgraded the next couple hours, you know, without me.
Yeah, I would say so. And, you know, we get all the black books up. By the way, Nate and I are going to hash out our Christian McCaffrey stuff. So,
oh, like,
how about that?
Like, you're going to hug it out?
Bury the hatchet. We're going to
really?
Bury the hatchet there. So,
really? Is that bit. Means he apologizes then? That's what that means, because Bogman will not relent. So I hope everybody can decipher what that means. Is by them bearing the hatchet, Nate gives in and says you were right.
Sometimes you gotta take the L, you know, is all I'm saying.
Sure.
So
yeah, you know. Sometimes you're wrong and you gotta admit when you're wrong. It's okay. You're not less of a man when you're wrong, Nate. You know,
that's true.
You don't have to, not everyone has to have the tail tucked between their legs and run around just because they had the worst take in fantasy football.
It's well,
okay.
He did. Like, if you remember going back to the first time we had him on, I challenged him on AB over Hopkins. And now, you know, I don't know that that's particularly close. So he got me there. But the vast difference between AB and Hopkins versus Christian McCaffrey and CJ Anderson, I mean, it's pretty big, right?
A little bit. I will tell you, I don't even think it's Nate's worst take. I cannot get over Nate's.
The one and a half thing.
And so many people are so adamant about it. I saw some people, you know, you got tons of likes on it. And some people are like, oh man, 2 times is the way to listen to it. And people like 1.5. I was just like, you
just want to listen to everyone sound like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's culturally, it's just consume, get through, consume. It's that type of stuff. You know,
hey, look, I'm the consumer. I think if I had a nickname, that's probably what it would be. You know,
that's like another superhero in our universe. The consumer. It's like the blob. The consumer. That's our version.
The consumer. Yeah. So but I just can't do that. Like if it doesn't sound right, it just doesn't sound right. That's why there have been like books I want to listen to, audio books, and I listen to the reader for like 5 seconds. I'm like, nope, can't do it. This reader's obnoxious.
I like audio.
Could be the best book ever. So
yeah, I like audio. I like tone. You know, like as a pop culture person, you know, I love, like I get really into like weird things about movies. Like there'll be a line that's not like one of the hits. You know, it's not this big line, but it'll just be a way someone reacts or some stupid little thing that will just stick with me forever. You know, like
out of those units.
Yeah. That's what. What was our movie? Wasn't it Colin Wood where he was like, I got a degree in learning.
Yeah. I went to college where I got a degree in learning.
Yeah. Just like stupid stuff like that. So I feel like Beavers and Ducks. That's a big one for you and I. Wasn't Bruce Willis and Billy Bob Thornton?
Yep,
Bandits. Yeah, that's a big one. Beavers and Ducks. And I feel like you miss out on that. Tonally, you miss out. And most people's excuses are like, oh, I can just consume more. I want more. But I guess that's only if you're there to just get stats and you're just there to get information. If you're not there to, I feel like those type of people, they're consuming podcasts or shows of that manner that are just trying to get through information. They're just trying to get nuggets or something like that. They're not there to have a good time.
Just imagine those people that put so much time into a podcast and fake their voice for the whole thing, huh. And you're playing it at 1.5. Yeah. So,
can you imagine? Can you imagine what's going on? I mean, I get you wanting to burn through stuff. That's why, what is it, NFL Network, they've got that game replay. Can't you watch like a full NFL game in like 45 minutes now?
Yeah, they cut out all the breaks and, you know, all that stuff. There's no standing around in those.
Yeah, when I have a game recorded, one of my favorite things on the planet to do is just to fast forward through each of the bull crap and just get to each play. Like, if I could have a game like that, I would be into it. I get that, but I don't want the whole game like that. So, I don't know. I still think it's one of the worst takes. Me and Nate will have to hash that out, but that'll be good. So, lots and lots of fantasy football talk. Lots of different minds here. Bogman is going to lead your way through. So, Joe Pisapia, hour 2. Nate Hamilton, hour 3. It should be very, very good stuff, but I am still here for you and with Bogman in hour 1. And we are coming off of some preseason games. We've got some actual action with some massive overreactions are going on. That's the best thing about the preseason already going on. Now, maybe we can just squash the overreaction thing for just a moment. We could just live in the excitement of some of the big performances because that's what we want to do. And there were a few of them. Rashard Higgins, about 100 yards, 98 yards, 5 catches, and a touchdown in the Browns' win over the Redskins. That was
look
nice.
Look at that. Yeah, I would start him over Jarvis Landry from now on.
Clearly. Then, you got to take him over them. How about this one? Oh, man. This one is so pretty because it feeds the narrative. Jacoby Myers with the New England Patriots. They just stomped on the Lions 31-3. Jacoby Myers, who famously now there's that report on Roto-World that was Jacoby Myers is outperforming N'Keal Harry. He had 6 catches, 69 yards, and 2 touchdowns. watch out.
I kind of like Jacoby Myers, too, so that's an interesting one.
You're going to see roster trends go up. Preston Wilson with Miami, 4 catches, 97 yards. Miami, I mean, who cares about wins and losses, but they pulled off the win. He was pretty solid.
Look, Preston Williams is way better than his 7th-round draft pick. He had some domestic violence stuff, which is why he wasn't allowed to go to the combine. And there was talks about how his work ethic. So when you have those questions, it's going to be tough to be drafted. So I like that one.
We saw a little bit of Kyler Murray, who was 6-for-7, which 44 yards, 6-for-7. You got to love that. Didn't get outside the pocket. We didn't want to see it. In that same game, you had Austin Eckler, 5 carries, 40 yards. Justin Jackson scored a touchdown on 5 carries, 22 yards. I felt like the Eckler-Jackson was just a perfect representation of what they want to do. Eckler is your yards guy, 8 yards per carry he was averaging. Justin Jackson, no slouch, 4.4, but he's that guy that's bringing in the touchdown. I thought that was a perfect representation. And Eckler also had 3 catches for 29 yards. Not a lot missed, I don't think, on the Chargers, at least starter end as far as the running backs go.
How about 4-for-6, 59 yards, and a score for Lamar Jackson?
That made you feel good?
I like that. It did. I tell you what made me feel the best, though, was I said, I don't know that I would have taken Daniel Jones where the Giants took him, but I did think he was much better than people were giving him credit
for. He was always your guy. I remember Daniel Jones being your guy before Daniel Jones was popular to like.
Right, or dislike. So,
oh, yeah, that's a good point, too, yeah.
But he came out firing on all cylinders. He was 5-for-5, 67 yards and a score, and they were darts, man. There was he threw through traffic one time perfectly to Golden Tate. The touchdown was a perfect back shoulder fade. I mean, he looked amazing out there. So only got the one series, and so I'm sure looking again, he wouldn't be that great every single time out, but he was very impressive in his one series.
Another solid performance. Definitely been my guy, Royce Freeman. I mean, I guess you could break this both ways. Royce Freeman only had 3 carries. He broke off a 50-yarder but he also lost a yard in his next two carries because he ended with 49 yards. So three rushes, 49 yards, 16.3 yards per carry because he busted off a 50-yarder. So that's exciting. I'm very pro Royce Freeman, of course. But I would say it was positive to see Philip Lindsay, who had another like Royce Freeman type thing. You're like, hey, four carries, that's nice, 10 yards. Okay, that's not great, whatever. But his long was 10 yards, so he gained no yards in his other three carries and broke it off. But I would just say, thank God he's out there and doing some work.
Yes.
That's what's going to make people feel really positive.
And I think in his drive, it was like, you know, six plays and four Lindsay touches. So
yeah.
I like that too.
Another performance I just want to point out was, I don't know if you saw it, but David Montgomery, three carries, 16 yards, and he had a bounce off the line of scrimmage, 7-yard touchdown run where
slippery dude.
Yeah, he hit the line. He hit the line and he bounced off of them, went left side and just broke it right in. It was a beautiful run, good acceleration. You know, a lot of the garbage with David Montgomery seems to be like Jordan Howard 2.0. You know, he's not super fast. He's just not special. That seems to be some of the stuff, but I don't know, man, that guy's footwork. David Montgomery, this might be a really poor comp, but I feel like David Montgomery's, and you're not going to buy it because he doesn't do the same thing as this guy, but I feel like there's a Le'Veon Bell-ness to him where
No. That's it's good. He doesn't have the same running style.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like he doesn't do the stutter. He doesn't stutter, but he's got physically he's kind of bigger. You know, I don't think you look at Lev Bell, you think there's explosive breakaway speed, but Lev Bell literally works off of stutter, 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 explode. And that's what I see with David Montgomery.
Right. I mean, look, Le'Veon Bell is explosive, but he doesn't have top end speed.
Yeah.
And I think you could probably say the same thing with Montgomery. I don't know that you're ever going to see those gigantic 80 yard rips or anything from him. But what he didn't have at Iowa State was a good offensive line. So he always was getting hit in the backfield and having to bounce off tackles and things like that. So I wouldn't necessarily call him, you know, elusive, but he's definitely slippery. You know, he's not Barry Sanders or anything, but he has great balance and he knows how to take on a hit and bounce off of it. So that's what makes him get to the next level and all that stuff. And he's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And I like the start already.
You think there's going to be some overreaction about Dexter Williams? 14 carries, 62 yards, 4.4 per carry. You think we're going to go nuts?
Yeah, I'm just waiting. I want to throw my phone away. Because I don't want Jake to text me.
No, why would you? Who do you think I want to talk. There was an injury that's important to talk about. But who do you think by the way, we're only talking about the Thursday games here.
All right.
You know, hint, hint, wink, wink. We're not talking about Friday. You know, I don't know why you can't piece that together, why that's happening. Where do you think the top three actual impressive performance are that like moves the needle? Because there's lots of stuff, you know, we go and look at and we're just like, okay, great. Kareth White, you know, with Chicago had 35 yards. Whoopee. Caleb Raymond with Tennessee, 6 catches, 80 yards. What are the ones that actually move the needle a little bit where you're like, oh, okay. Like, I think as flippant as I was about it, I think that Jacoby Myers might be one that we need to keep our eyes on. Like maybe it wasn't so much fodder. The guy was targeted 8 times. That is more than Braxton Berrios. N'Keal Harry only had 2. The next guy was Maurice Harris, who had 5. You could take Harry, Inman, and Berrios, and Jacoby Myers was targeted more. Now, I know I'm just like picking names out of there, but I think that's one that moves the needle a little bit.
Well, for me, it's the two quarterbacks, Kyler Murray and Daniel Jones, looking great. Both really looking good. And David Montgomery, to be honest with you.
Love the David Montgomery one.
The David Montgomery one, it's not only because he looked good in that touchdown run, but he only had 3 rushes. But he averaged 5.3 yards a carry, and he had 3 catches as well. So, you know, half through the air, half on the ground, and that is what he does. So I really, really like that. And Kyler Murray just looking really good out there, you know, running that offense confidently was a lot of fun to watch. And Daniel Jones just throwing strikes. You know, I don't know if it's going to be that way the entire time, but he was just out there poised in the pocket, throwing strikes, looking really good. So I think those are the biggest pullaways from those Thursday games.
Yeah, I mean, and I think a lot of people are going to take a look and they're going to be like, all right, who are the dudes? You know, who are the dudes that up their value? Like I was kind of alluding to, like Jacoby Myers. I'm not sure. I mean, we did a whole show on this last week to say, hey, temper yourselves, everybody. You know,
right.
Maybe a guy like Preston Williams is going to, you know, I don't know, maybe he's going to push himself up. Maybe he's a wide receiver three, you know, probably better four as best option. So it's kind of hard to pick out of there. I like the Kyler Murray one a lot. I feel a lot more comfortable. David Montgomery looked fantastic, even in that short stint. It's just it's the type of thing that you wanted to see. You want to see decision-making. Like, hey, if he had a 7-yard run and there was a hole that was, you know, 6 yards deep, okay, that's one thing. The guy was able to, you know, he switched off of the line, bounced off of it, broke through tackles. I like seeing that. You know, another one, if I can pick a little bit, what about J.J. Arcega-Whiteside? I'm kind of into this one. He was targeted 4 times in this game. He had 2 catches, 23 yards. I've been a little bit questionably, like how much he could be involved in this offense. I kind of like this early start of him getting targeted, getting some catches. Thought he looked pretty solid.
Yeah, you know, it just depends on, because I haven't got to see where he was in that game. Was he playing in the third quarter? Was he playing in the fourth quarter? Like, if he's playing in the third and fourth quarter, he's playing against, you know, guys that are going to be cut in the secondary.
I just like seeing the ball going his way is what I'm getting.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you still got to get open.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's definitely a part of it. So, but, we know that Arcega-Whiteside is going to be there. So it's, you know, I just don't know what his role in this offense is going to be this year. I tell you what, I didn't realize that my guy, Patrick Laird, signed with the Dolphins. So I'm sure he was playing against the, you know, fourth and fifth string guys. But that's an interesting name to keep your eye on in Miami, because Miami's job is kind of, you know.
That's your dude to monitor. All right. Don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we've actually got to talk about some Texans, because there's some relevant Texan news, an injury, and there was a trade. There was an important trade to talk about. So when we come back, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Antonio Brown's disgusting, gross feet. And we've got another good topic about punishment in fantasy. And it's relevant to this guillotine league and stuff we're going to be playing. So don't go anywhere. More in this league right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Season-long fantasy football drafts are in full swing, fellers. Roto Experts has got you covered with their NFL 365 Fantasy Football Package, with the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings available anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts team provide dynasty, season-long betting, best ball, NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. So save 10% at rotoexperts.com with promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off with promo code FNTSY, the NFL 365 Fantasy Football Package, only at rotoexperts.com. Welcome back. This is In This League. I am Chris Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. And there's going to be other people here soon.
That's right.
I kind of like it. I like when Bogman shines. It's a happy time for me. I like you go out and you get a guest, and then you just like run in the show and you poke at him, and I don't know. There's something good about it. I like it.
I mean, I poke at Nate a little bit. I don't know that.
Maybe it's more that I'm not here that I like so much.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm convoluting it.
Wow, geez.
No, I like with you. I just, you know, I got to travel around this weekend. So that's why it's a little bit shorter for me this weekend. So
that's right. Yeah. Well, what I did was, you know, I liked so much the segment that we did last week, the hour where we looked at the sleepers from every single team.
That
might have been over an hour. So
We did 2 hours. Remember, we took a sleeper and we compared it to every week one preseason game. So we were able to kind of talk about the preseason game and then we put the sleeper to each one. We did 2 hours of it. I thought it was great.
Right. So that's basically what I did this time. Obviously, we hit every team, but it was I just posed what I thought was the most important fantasy question by team. And I did half the league with Joe and half the league with Nate. And that's what we're going to be doing coming up in hours.
I was about
two
to say, you're saying that's like past tense, Bogman. You mean that's what you're going to be doing?
That's
right?
What you're going to be hearing. That's right. Wink. Yeah, I definitely haven't already done it.
It's totally about to happen. And we'll see what live reaction, you know, that's why the radio is so great. We just have no idea what's going to happen. Not like Bogman recorded or anything. So
100%.
There's a lot of stuff for whatever reason. Week one feels, of the preseason, feels very Houston Texan news-ish because the most important, I was going to go with preseason, but let's talk about the first big important thing that happened. And this went down on Thursday that Duke Johnson was traded from the Cleveland Browns to the Houston Texans for a fourth that could turn into a third. I think that's a very substantial price, especially considering the market that now exists for running backs, which is, I mean, it is so disrespectful. Running backs as a whole are all pressing back because they can't get paid. They're not getting drafted like they've done before. The running back position has never been devalued. I guess I should phrase it too. I shouldn't even say it. Has the running back position ever been as devalued as it is in 2019?
That's a tough question to ask because I just, you know, we're only 36, the Welsh. So,
but I mean, like Gale Sayers.
I just don't know.
I don't know.
It is now. Like, I'll say that. It definitely is disrespected because, you know, half the teams are like, I don't take a running back before round three. Like, that's just their draft philosophy.
They don't pay them. They don't draft them. They don't. I mean, you don't see acquisitions at a high cost. I think in our lifetime, you know, and we were both born in 1983. Since 1983, I want to say that 2019 is the most disrespected year of the running back since we were born. And there is little to no value on these guys anymore. Not saying that the position doesn't work. It's just they don't pay them. They swing players in and they use 3 to 4 of them sometimes at a time to make their system work. There's no more bell cow. They're not going to get paid. So I'm setting the tone here to say a fourth to third round pick, Duke Johnson going to Houston, to me, that's a very significant price for a team. They let go of Deontay Foreman because he didn't care. You know, he's over in Indianapolis now. Lamar Miller's, I'm not really sure what you ever take of Lamar Miller. Like, we're kind of blah on Lamar Miller. I don't know if the team is kind of blah on him. And the best thing they got going outside of that is Damari Crockett, who he did have six rushes for 24 yards and a touchdown in the preseason opener. And Bill O'Brien said, I think they've really shown up when he was talking about Crockett and Karen Higdon as far as like what their gameplay was. But Duke Johnson coming in to me is extremely significant enough that I think it's possible he could be the number one running back in Houston from a fantasy perspective. I still think Lamar Miller could be the starter, but I think when it's all said and done, look at PPA. You know what? I got the example. Broke ass Sony Michel James White.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what I had said. I can't remember when we were doing the Black Book or whenever.
Did you use that analogy?
No, it wasn't that one, it was Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler, you know, kind of the same deal.
Okay. Well, what I'm getting at is though, it's okay. So you know what? Yours fits your narrative. So I get where you're going with that. Mine is where I'm saying, like, I think, you know, how James White theoretically is more valuable than Sonny Michel in a PPR league. I think Duke Johnson could be that, where Lamar Miller's just fine. He's, you know, just a guy.
He's a jag. Is that what you're saying at this point?
He's a little jaggy. He's a little jaggy.
I think Lamar Miller's better than a jag, but I don't know that he's that much better than
I'm saying like an average starting jag. I'm not saying he's just like garbage or anything. He's still like, you know, the starter. He's still going to be a red zone guy. But, you know, James White's out there catching 8 to 9 balls. He's getting a few rushes. He's getting 2 or 3 touchdowns. You know, he's a main target. That's the type of mainstay that I think Duke Johnson could be in this Houston offense. I really think will be. I mean, maybe I'm going to be told otherwise, you know, once we start to see more game plans. But it feels like people are getting a little bit jacked up about Demary Crockett. Crockett comes in, he's the third running back. I think Duke Johnson is as feature back as Lamar Miller, and that's the Houston Texans offense that they're going to roll with.
And Demary Crockett's fine, but he is... I mean, that is a definition of a jag right there. So,
but he's the guy. He's the guy. Like when
he's the guy right now.
Yeah, when Foreman was gone, you looked at all these dudes. You looked at Ferguson and Crockett and Higdon. You just looked at all these guys, and you're like, all right, where does this work? And right now, it's Crockett.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't work is basically what I would say. No. I think that it's definitely going to be, you know, it's definitely going to be Duke as the number two there, and. I don't think it's necessarily going to be very, very close. And Crockett's the guy right now, but this could be literally anybody. Like, it could be someone not on the roster right now.
You mean as the far third as, guy?
Yeah, as like a direct backup behind Lamar Miller should he get injured or something. Like, because we know that Duke Johnson has his role, and it's not going to be a guy that carries the ball 20 times. Like, touches in a game.
I'm not so sure that's true, though, Boggs. Like, he's on a new team. We don't know that his role is what it was in Cleveland.
I think it is. I think he's that kind of back. I think he's a receiving back, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I don't think he's a back that's going to go out and carry the ball 20 times. So I think they picked him up. And, you know, like that's why I wanted him to go to Tampa Bay. And Nate mentions that a little bit later. But I think Tampa Bay would be perfect because those guys are going to be losing every single game all the time. So you throw the ball. That's the guy you want out on the field. Ronald Jones doesn't catch the ball very well. Peyton Barber probably catches better, but he's a little plodding. So I don't know. I think that would have fit perfect, but they didn't want to do it. So that's why Bruce Ellington was getting run in Tampa Bay. But we'll see how it pans out. I like that Duke Johnson got out of Cleveland for when Kareem Hunt comes back to not push him off whatever he was doing. But I think he has his role, and it's the receiving back behind Lamar Miller. Third down, he's going to get third downs. He's going to get, 2-minute drills. He's going to get that kind of stuff. I don't think he's going to get more than 10 carries in a game.
True or false? In 2018, Duke Johnson had 10 or more carries in a game.
He probably had it one time.
He did two not. Times. He did no. not. In 2017, true Trying or false, that he had a game with 10 or more rush attempts.
Well, they were really bad in 2017, so I feel like they were trying anything. Did he get one there?
Yeah, how many?
Three.
One. His last game where he had at least, he had 10 carries or more was... What is this? November.
Is there a game where he had 10 catches?
Let me look. Well, he had 10 targets in 2007. I'm on 2017 right now. He was targeted 10 times on October 1st, and he had 9 catches. But November 12th of 2017 was the last time that Duke Johnson had 10 carries. And I'm going to look in 2018. Where a really funny thing about Pro Football, I'm looking at Pro Football Reference. In 2018, they actually put his receiving as the primary instead of rushing, where it was the opposite the year before.
He didn't have 10 catches, but he had nine catches on November 4th. So he had 62 targets last season, 47 catches, and he had 40 carries and 201 yards. I think he could get more on both ends.
I do too.
He could get more carries and he could get more targets, but they already have 3 good wideouts. I mean, we'll have to see how bad this Kiki QT ankle injury is. They're saying it's minor right now, but you know, who knows? Let's let him get the MRI, right? We don't want people playing doctor yet. So let's let him get the MRI and have the doctor say what it looks like, of course. But
you know, Rappaport reported NFL.com, you know, that it's not major. Maybe he sits out a little.
And where did he get his doctorate, Ian Rappaport?
And he got a degree in learning.
So he got his medical degree from his medical degree in learning, right?
Yeah, got a medical degree in health. That's
let's just let him get an MRI first. You know, it's probably not that bad, but it's still probably going to keep him out for the rest of the preseason. And Will Fuller, we know, gets banged up. So I think there's going to be opportunities for Duke Johnson. So I do like him in Houston more than I liked him in Cleveland, but I don't know that he's going to be, I would say that if they're both healthy for the full season, Lamar Miller outperforms him in points. So,
okay. So let me ask you this.
All right.
How many games in 2018 did Duke Johnson have 10 or more touches? Or I'm sorry. Yeah. More than 10 touches.
Have you done that math?
I'm sorry. More than 10 touches. So 10 doesn't count, more than 10.
Two or three?
Zero.
Zero? In that nine catch? Yeah, he only had one carry.
Yep, that's so. The one game where he had 10 touches. So what I want to ask you, over under 12 and a half touches per game in 2019?
I would have to say under, because I don't know how many carries he's going to get, but I mean, if he gets four carries and six catches, I think that's about what you should expect, right?
Well, so, what if I said 10 and a half? Does that change anything?
It makes it closer. So I would go over 10.
I think
so. I'll go over 10 and a half.
I see Duke this year as an 8 to 10 carry guy and somewhere between the 3 and 5 catch mark. So I'm somewhere between that, like 12 and 14 touches per game. But it's all me projecting when a guy has been on the roster for a couple days. I'm looking at all the chatter, you know, Duke Johnson, what he was, extremely talented player, still young, the cost and the situation. And I'm assuming they want to get the ball in this guy's hands. And you get him in the backfield running. I know he did not do a whole bunch of it. I think his high last year was 5 carries in the opener against Pittsburgh. And then he tied that again versus Baltimore. Other than that, he didn't have more than 4 carries. Double up on that. Let him be a playmaker,
right,
and then throw him the ball. Target him.
And I'm sure they traded a third or fourth round pick or whatever it's going to end up being for him so that they can play Karen Higdon a bunch. Give me a break. So
yeah, see, that's where I'm at with it.
It's those two, and then Higdon or Crockett or whoever earns it will be the direct back behind Lamar Miller should he need a series off, should he go down with an injury. But that's what they're playing for. You know, Duke Johnson is the second back.
Dude. Why is Antonio Brown's feet so gross?
Well, because he went into the cryotherapy chamber or whatever without footwear on.
They're so,
like, a dumbass.
Gross. And he's not going to play. I don't think he's going to play the entire preseason now. That's what it looks like. David Chow had reported that he very well will be there by week one. But isn't there some increased, like, pissed off chatter? And I mean, I guess we're going to see it on Hard Knocks. I still haven't watched the first one. We had a suggestion. Our guy Toby hit me up in the DMs. He's like, yo, your guys' Patreon, you should be doing a Hard Knocks review show. And I was like, you know what? That's a great idea. But I feel like we missed the boat because I haven't even seen the first one. I feel like we needed to, like, have prep for that so we drop it the day after it drops.
And everyone's talking about Hard Knocks anyway, so I don't know that.
But people like to hear.
We can add.
No, but people like to hear other people talk about things they like. That's why those movie review podcasts are so popular. TV show podcasts, you know, everybody's talking about it. But if they like someone, they want to hear other people's opinions battling through it. And I have to imagine Antonio Brown is going to be a feature role in this show rolling around with his ugly ass feet everywhere.
Well, he was still going. He was still, even through all that stuff, he was still running routes and all that crap. He just wasn't playing. He wasn't practicing with them. He was like on the side field, kind of like when they're on the PUP, stuff like that, where they can't practice with the team. But one of his little kids asked him, where's Roethlisberger? I thought it was pretty funny. He was like, we don't play with Roethlisberger no more. Derek Carr's our quarterback now. So
I wish the kid would have went, who? Derek Carr can't throw, daddy. And then and David Carr appears out of nowhere.
Those kids are adorable. His little kids always wearing his gear and following him around everywhere.
Are you worried at all about Antonio Brown at all? Like, nah. I'm not saying worry, like, you're gonna put him below Kenny Golladay or something like that, but enough to notch him down just a peg, because he's in a tier of a bunch of really good players. He's probably in the tier of Juju, Mike Evans, I don't know, Keenan Allen. I mean, does he deserve? Yeah, I don't know where you had him.
Better than all those guys. The reason that he's not a tier one wide receiver anymore is because he's got frozen Derek Carr throwing the ball. Yeah, he's freezing his feet and Derek Carr throwing the ball. And, you know, I liked Derek Carr a lot a while back, but last year it was just, I don't know what it was with him. It was like he was gun shy to throw the ball downfield. It was like Gruden beat it into his head. Don't throw the ball downfield because you're going to throw a pick. So he didn't want to throw it downfield. Now, you know, a lot of that's because he didn't have targets to throw to. They traded Amari Cooper, right? Marcel Aitman was the number one wide out there for a little while. So it's quite an upgrade to go from Aitman to AB. But I don't know. I think we might be disrespecting the Raiders offense a little bit too much. And Derek Carr might be able to become an asset again, because if you're going to do it, they've surrounded him with talent. So he's got to be better than he was last year. So he's got to throw the ball to AB, Tyrell, get Josh James open and out in the flat and stuff like that. And he's got to make improvements or else this team's going to get the brains beat in again. So
that is the truth. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think I might already have him in the appropriate range. I feel like the only guy to have the question about with Antonio Brown is like Mike Evans. And do you just concern yourself at all with, like you said, the offense, just the stuff with him? You know, is he still a loose cannon? It's just little tiny fodder, but he's still right. One of the more talented players for sure. All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, Bogman has something. It just perfectly came up as we have a guillotine in our own vampire league. We call it the True Blood League. We are going to be doing. And Bogman brought up the point and said, if one of us gets eliminated in guillotine week one, I mean, should we be embarrassed? And I said, there might need to be repercussions. Well, I think Bogman pulled up some repercussions in leagues this year. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. But don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up right after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking.
In this league.
Break it down.
The NFL season is now upon us, and you, yes you, can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament setting their lineups using the DailyRoto.com DFS Lineup Optimizer, or you can become one of the countless number of people who have won thousands of dollars playing DFS using DailyRoto.com. If you're playing daily fantasy sports and you're not using DailyRoto.com, you, friend, are doing it wrong. Head on over and check out their tools for NFL, MLB, PGA, NBA, NHL, and sports wagering, and you're going to get access to all of them with the Daily Roto Elite Package. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount, and you're going to get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, and you get to use the same Daily Roto lineup optimizers that have produced millions in DFS winnings. That's DailyRoto.com, promo code ACTION, DailyRoto.com, where millionaires are made. Welcome back. This is In This League. I am Welsh. That is Bogman. We are In This League, and you can also find us over at patreon.com/ITL Army. Tons of good stuff for your fantasy football season and your fantasy season if you like other sports, and for humor and for podcasting. People that like to listen to podcasts at perfect one speed, not 1.5 speed. Check us out, patreon.com/ITL Army. Did you know, Bogman, that Duke Johnson's real name is Randy?
I didn't know it was Randy, but I figured
he's knowing. Randy Johnson. He's Randy Johnson Jr. Big as unit. A matter of fact, he's Unit Jr.
He's Unit Jr. Yeah, they look a lot alike, right? He's 6'11.
Duke is 5'9. Not talking about the obvious, of course.
Right.
I love Pro Football Focus, or Pro Football Focus. I like them too, but Pro Football Reference. I just scrolled up and I was like, oh, he's Randy. He's Randy Johnson, not Duke Johnson. Did you know that?
Yeah, I read this today that Michael Keaton's real last name is actually Douglas. Like he was born Michael Douglas? Right. But because there was something with the union, he couldn't be Michael Douglas because Michael Douglas was already, you know, in whatever this union is, I guess maybe the Screen Actors Guild or whatever.
That had to be something like in the '70s or eighties.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he said, there's this, I'm just trying to find what it was on, 'cause I saw it on Reddit earlier and I'm never going to be able to find that again. But he said, what's great is I use my real name, Michael John Douglas, for everything except when I'm on a marquee or a gig. So people get very confused because I'll be going somewhere and there'll be a driver with a sign saying Michael Douglas. And then I show up and they look confused.
The Guild had to fix that type of stuff. 'Cause like in 15 years, you know how many like Daenerys Stormborn Millers there's going to be on the planet that the Screen Guild is going to have to deal with and names. And, you know, it actually reminds me of the baseball story where former Diamondbacks and now White Sox, where the hell is he? White Sox? Adam Eaton? Adam Eaton, where he talked about
Nationals, I think. Nationals.
Is it Nationals? Okay, I'm convoluting all of it. Yeah, you're right. I don't know why. I don't know why I put him back on the Nationals, but I did. But Adam Eaton, who was, it was in the minor leagues with the Diamondbacks, and he received a paycheck of Phillies Adam Eaton. And I was just like, what? They can't get this right in like 2000, whatever it was, 2010, 2012. And he talked about how he got a check from major leaguer Adam Eaton.
I wonder if he's able to cash it. I doubt
why
he
wouldn't
did,
he be able to? Like, it's,
yeah.
Would you cash a check if you got a check for $50,000 to Scott Bogman? Would you cash that thing, knowing that like repercussions could come? You know how like the IRS, like have you ever seen where the IRS has given someone like $180 million or whatever, $180,000, and then they cash it, they spend it, and the IRS comes after you for that money?
Yeah, I mean, maybe if it was from the IRS, I'd take you know, a second thought. But if it was from anyone else, I think I'd be like, yep, that's any, going right in my bank account.
Any other Scott Bogman?
I not that I know of. So, you know, it's
unique
just me.
Name. Yeah, you know, you're a unique name, Bogman.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's other Bogmans popping up that I've seen. Like, I think I saw on Twitter someone named Tom Bogman or something. But I don't know anyone else. So
just change your name to Duke. You'd be Duke Bogman.
Yeah, Duke Bogman.
Then you can just be whatever.
I'll be Duke Keaton. That's my porn name.
I like that. Well, there you go. That's pretty solid. So we were talking about, I teased this on the other segment, but we were talking about, we set up, you know, some different leagues sometimes on our In This League fantasy football stuff. Fantasy football, baseball podcast. It's separate from this show. This is our radio rendition, but we've got the podcast all over just for anybody that, you know, is perusing and trying to scour for fantasy football stuff and is coming across us. We've got the ITL Fantasy Football Podcast and the other ones. And we'll sometimes do some unique entry leagues. It's just ways if people want to pay up, have a chance to win a ring from our buddies over at Official Fantasy Rings and play against us. That's why we put them together. And we were kind of done, but Bogman brought up, or someone brought up, a guillotine league. And then we got into talking about doing a vampire league, which the vampire's a little different. It's the one team that doesn't draft players, but they, and no one else can like pick up guys. They get to pick up guys and they get to steal players, blah, blah, blah. We created our own version of that where just you start to not be able to protect players. And if someone beats you, they get to take your players, hints and so forth. But the guillotine league, you could pay your way and be knocked out in week one and you're done. It's just like doing the, it's like doing the pick'ems. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you got your one pick'em each week and then boom, you're out of it. That's essentially what this can be. And Bobby brings up,
someone is going to get eliminated every single week.
Yeah.
That's the fun of it.
And that's what's so great about it. And Bogman brought up on our last ITL Fantasy Football podcast, like, you know, we're doing this. What if one of us got knocked out in the first week? And I pushed it a little bit to be like, well, I think the first couple weeks, I mean, anyway, there'd be annoying a-holes out there to be like, if you don't win it, why are you? Shut up. Go jump in front of a go-kart.
Maybe calm down.
In front of a go-kart is what I'm telling you.
Okay.
Yeah, that was nice. But
jump in front of a Roomba. That's right.
Yeah, Roomba. I will never get a Roomba, by the way.
I mean, there would be no point. I have crap laying around everywhere at my place. So
why would you get a Roomba? I feel like 80% of the time, it would be me moving the Roomba out of a corner of my house.
My cats would just flip it over and stare at it. So,
but like, I think if we get knocked out in the first 3 weeks, specifically 2 weeks, it's a bad look. And maybe I brought up bugs. There should be some type of a repercussion. We should have some type of a penalty if that were to happen. And you happen to say, oh, well, Welsh, I happen to just have an article on some of the, what is it called? Just like, you know, some the of the punishments. Bad punishments. There you go.
It's funny. Donnie Druin, Fantasy Pros, wrote this up. And some of these are, you know, there's a couple ones where they're eye rollers. I think maybe just one. It's the tattoo. You know what I mean? Like, you're really going to get a tattoo for being in last place.
I mean, we've been around people that value. I don't want to be the guy that we're doing a show and, you know, whatever, and being like, you know, hey, listen, don't value fantasy like that. But as we've said a million times, fantasy is supposed to be fun. That is like the most important thing. And it can be a big part of your life, and you can do lots of leagues. You can win money. You can make it a bit. There's a million things you can do. Here's something you can't do. You can't put ink on your body because you lost a league. That's yeah, insane.
Especially the ones where the like your league mates get to decide what it is too. They always pick like a pink unicorn.
It's like a unicorn. Like, yeah. Right. It's like a unicorn with a football. No way.
The first one here, the Welsh, and this one would be very, very interesting. But and this is how stupid I am. I was like, taking the SAT? What are you talking about? Taking the SAT or ACT.
That's a really cool one. I actually like that one. I mean, absolutely embarrassing. Now, did they put the caveat that you have to tell your results of the SAT?
Of course. I think not only do you have to tell your results, I think you have to have your results mailed to everyone else in your league. Oh, I think that should be the thing, right?
I think that is a fantastic one. I mean,
and you'd have to go to like, this is what it says in the article. You'd have to go and sit in like a gym filled with 17-year-olds.
Oh, no. I didn't think about that. No, that's wretched.
Where else are you going to take the SAT? Because you have to be in front of the instructors.
No, just send it to me. Take it at home.
Well, no, you have to make sure you don't cheat. And they're not going to send out copies of the SAT so that you can give it to somebody else. I'm sure there's all kinds of kids trying to pull that thing.
I
don't know, man.
I would be worried. I would show up on the spectrum if I took one of those tests. Like, I'd take one of those tests and then I would see the results and I'd be like, well, this is a problem.
Maybe an IQ test. That's the same thing. You could take that at home, I think, maybe.
Yeah. No, I think those are great. yeah, that's good. That's a great one. That's not physically tattooing your body. It's not doing the, you know, hey, look, I'm in a pink tutu out in front of traffic panhandling or whatever with a sign. Like, those are lame. The float thing I see people do, it's lame. That is super creative.
Like a permit and everything. All of that for an hour of embarrassment? No, thanks.
I love the SAT one. That's great.
That might be the best one. There's one other one that I think you'll like better, but this one isn't it, but maybe. This one is called Lion Hunting. And basically, the rest of your league gets to, they all get paintball guns, and you are the lion. And if you're in last place, so, and then they hunt you.
It's like the vampire thing again?
You know, kind of, but you have to wear like a full lion getup.
Do I get to have knives as my fingers and also
knives.
Hunt you?
No, just paintball.
Like that Michael, speaking of Michael Douglas, that like Michael Douglas and Val Kilmer movie. Remember that one?
No.
What was that one? Where they're hunting the lion?
I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, it's a great, it's like in Africa, this lion is like killing a whole village and they come in to, what is that movie?
Oh, okay. It sounds like The Gray, but
I'm going to look it up. Val Kilmer lion movie. It'll come up. I know it will. It's The Ghost in the Darkness. Yep, there it is.
Oh, I've heard of that. I've never seen it, though. Probably because it has ghosts in it. And I'm like, I'm not watching that by myself.
That's scary.
No, thanks.
Yeah. I nailed it, too. It was Michael Douglas and Val Kilmer. I'm proud of myself. 1996. Go check it out.
I thought you said Michael Keaton, by the way. But, I mean, maybe you could have been talking about Michael Douglas anyway, right? This is going to be your favorite. Stand-up comedy.
I love that one. I might like that more than the SATs.
Yeah, I know. That was the one I thought maybe. So do you think you could put like What do you have to go and do 5 minutes at your local open mic night if you're in last place?
Oh, that's fantastic. You got to write a whole bit. As many of the league mates as they can show up.
Oh, yeah.
And they get to film it.
Yeah.
That's,
send it to the rest of the league. Right.
I mean, Boggs, that's miraculous. Now, is that better than the SAT one?
I think whichever one you're worse at is probably better. Like if you have a real clammy, nervous guy, you want to see that guy try to do stand up because it's going to end in an absolute disaster. Right. And if you have that guy's probably really smart. He probably killed the SATs. If you have a guy that's really funny and would love to go do some stand up, you want him to take the SATs because it would probably make him nervous because he's probably a big dummy. Right.
Yeah.
So I think whatever is worse is better for the punishment.
I guess I think the worst is subjective. I wouldn't mind someone going up there and killing. I think it's the idea of doing something embarrassing. It's not about it, them doing a horrible job. It's them having to like fight through and do 5 minutes of stand up. Maybe they pull through the SAT thing. You know, none of the SAT is going to be horrible until the results come in. I mean, it's the same thing. Like they could take the SAT and they could kill it, but,
they could also go in there like a smart ass and just not care. So,
that's very, very possible.
A, B, C, D. They could do that one. Or, you know, one of these where you hit your fingers and whichever finger hurts the worst, that's the one you pick.
I've never heard of that.
A, B, C, D. No?
No.
Okay. Guess you had all the answers on all your tests.
I mean, that's you assuming I took the SAT. So,
I think this one is my favorite one. Calendar shoot. Where if you're in a 12-man league, you pick a picture and then every other person in your league gets to pick a picture that you have to recreate.
I mean, that's a super involved one.
It's super involved, but like, you know,
stakes. That's like if you don't hate your life, you've got time on your hands, you've got money. Everyone's really great friends. You guys are all like, oh, we're totally going to be like Chris Rock and Adam Sandler and grown-ups or whatever. Like, that's fine to do that. But that one is super involved.
Like, the examples here, someone made this dude do a Brandi Chastain celebration of the Women's World Cup one.
Okay.
A Miley Cyrus wrecking ball. Right. Janet Jackson's infamous wardrobe thing at the halftime of the Super Bowl. Call Me Caitlyn from Caitlyn Jenner's vanity shoot.
I'm pretty sure if I did that Janet Jackson one, I would get a notice from YouTube that this isn't allowed on YouTube. They'd be like, this is inappropriate material. I'm like, I'm a guy. They're like, yeah.
We know.
Yeah,
so we're aware. Don't do it.
Says you.
I would make someone do like a Kate Upton Antarctica shoot, you know.
I was thinking of a different Kate Upton, but yeah.
And then there's other ones on this list that are kind of secondary. Of course,
yeah. What are some of the garbage ones?
One, a fat head, where the winner of the league gets to pick a fat head that you have to put up in your house until next season.
That feels very much like the Twitter profile picture thing. Like, oh, by the way, and you got to change a month of Twitter profile thing.
Running a marathon, like a local marathon, that's a pretty good one.
Okay.
That would be the worst punishment for me, actually. I think I'd rather do the calendar shoot or the tattoo.
No way. If you had to do the Janet Jackson one?
Yeah, I'd rather run that marathon.
Okay, the ultimate one. You have to recreate the scene from Goonies with the kid with the jiggling stomach.
Anything else. Doesn't matter. Dentist, Beatles, whatever else. I'm not doing that.
Okay, so you're taking the running over that.
I'm taking the running.
Okay, yeah, well, because I know just, you know, I've known you for 20 plus years. I just know that's come up before, and it's just so off the table. I just wanted to see where running a marathon compared to the truffle shuffle was.
No truffle shuffle for this guy.
All right.
Petitioning, making the loser stand on a street corner, collect petitions for something incredibly ridiculous, something like that. You get to make up, the champ gets to make up the cause, I'm assuming. There, karaoke, of course, always a classic one. This one's one of my favorites that I heard of a while ago, but you have to make the loser stay in a Waffle House for 24 hours. So they just have to be in the Waffle House.
I might rather have the tattoo.
Than the Waffle House?
You've been to a Waffle House?
Either way, you're getting tetanus. So.
Have you been to a Waffle House?
I have been, unfortunately.
You know the area that I live around? with the Waffle House that are around there? I don't think so, Scooter. I'm not going to a Waffle House.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting offered meth if you're staying 24 hours in a Waffle House.
Nothing good comes at a Waffle House at any day of the
year. And the last one is like, you know, an 8 to 10 page summary of the season, why they lost and all that stuff, like a book report.
Okay, so that's pretty good. Those are interesting. Well, let us know. Tweet us. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? If you guys have any creative ones, maybe we'll implement one on the Guillotine League. Love to hear from you and give us your thoughts on those. I am out of here for this hour, but hour 2 and 3 are still ahead of us. Joe Pizzapia coming up with Bogman right here. Then you're going to get some Nate Hamilton. So don't you go anywhere. More in this league coming up.